mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chest
down. You okay now? You calm down?
Woo! That was better. Just because I wanted to channel my Ric Flair and the equipment wasn't prepared for it. Ashton just turned it down
on the on the private talking text line. A buddy of mine said, "Chill out, Jen. Rosie, his dog, is in the car with me, and she started barking."
That's amazing. I was very hopeful that someone would get that answer, and then I had a very visceral and excited reaction to it.
Just gonna
and
have to I take think, your again, Celsius away.
We are here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and I think the equipment is just a little bit different than what we have usually, because when I said the woo, I know I blew out some people's windows in their homes and in their vehicles. So I apologize for that. You can send me the bill. And by me, I mean Gabe.
Why am I getting taken out today? What did I do?
No. I'm just saying, if you're going to be that guy for Chewy, maybe you could also
I'm not
be that
guy. I got fired.
Well, that's so now,
so
you're
now we're sending it to Ben.
So now you're available.
We're sending it to Ben.
Last night at the NFL Honors, it was announced that Sterling Sharp, of course, of Green Bay Packers fame, was in fact named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, the induction, of course, will happen later on in the year. It was a big night for a lot of people, but the four guys who went in or who are going into the Hall of Fame feels like a highlight. You know, they're showing Josh Allen on the television screens above us. He was named MVP as well. Well-deserved, obviously, as he had another incredible season. Chu, you played with Sterling, and you have told us stories about me versus we. Are you surprised that Sterling got in? Are you surprised it took this long? What is your reaction to the news that your former teammate Sterling Sharp will now be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not surprised. Sterling was an unbelievable talent. Looking back, was he the first one to have 100 receptions in a season? I know he was one of the first, and he continually did it every single year. He was a different kind of – he was kind of like a running back playing receiver. I don't think people realized how big and strong he was. He didn't have great top-end speed, but he still got behind DBs and made plays. Well-deserved. I mean, obviously the length of his career, I think, was a big reason why it took so long. But when you guys look at guys like Terrell Davis, who I think played shorter than actually Sterling – I think that's one of the reasons why he got in. But totally, he was an unbelievable talent. Unbelievable. Some of the things he could do, unbelievable hands, didn't drop balls, great route runner, but well-deserved. Very well-deserved.
Deion Sanders is on record. I think he said this a couple of years ago, saying that Sterling Sharp was the toughest guy he ever had to go up against.
You can't bump him. You couldn't bump him. Because if you bump him, he was so strong, he's just going to knock you out of the way. So you had to play him a little differently. But yeah, it's just an unbelievable talent.
Sterling Sharp was not the first wide receiver to have 100 receptions in an NFL season. That distinction belongs to Art Monk, who recorded 106 in 1984 with the Washington football team. Sterling Sharp was, however, the first NFL player to record back-to-back 100 reception seasons, too, achieving the feat in 1992 and 1993 with the Green Bay Packers.
And those set NFL single-season records, by the way. When he had the 108 and then the 112. Those were like the most in the NFL at the time, which is crazy to think about now that 108 catches was the NFL record 30 years ago.
Let's pivot now to Mike Holmgren, who Jason Wilde talked to us a little bit about. If you missed any of Jason Wilde's appearance, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So Holmgren does not get in, and it sort of feels like a technicality because there has been a change to the number of people that they are inducting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame now. Chu, was that a misstep by the league to not induct Mike Holmgren, who, again, won a Super Bowl with two franchises? And when we were talking about Tom Brady the other day, guys, and we were comparing what he did in the league to what Patrick Mahomes has done, one of the scratches in Tom's ledger, if you're comparing the two, was that he had won a Super Bowl with two franchises. It is easy, not easy, but relatively easier to do it with the same franchise, same coaches, same structure, oftentimes similar players. The fact that Brady went and did it with the Buccaneers as well as the Patriots, a lot of people feel like that elevates him even more in that conversation. Do you feel the same way about Mike Holmgren?
I do. He probably should have got in, but now he's going to have to wait because now, obviously, Belichick's going to go in, and you still have two. You have Tom Coughlin, who won two Super Bowls. I mean, Holmgren went to three, was 1-2. I would think Tom Coughlin's two wins would trump that, so he's probably going to have to sit and wait for a little while. I think eventually he'll get in, but I mean, 76.
I don't know if he's going to get in, Chu. I honestly don't. Well, just because there's already a backlog of coaches. Like, he got in. He was the nominee this year instead of Shanahan, who won two Super Bowls, instead of Coughlin. And, again, the way that they changed the process of how they vote for this thing now, like, he would have been a shoo-in previously, and they kind of whittle it down now more in terms of getting to five guys that they can elect. They whittle it down to seven, and then of those seven, you have to get 80% of the vote of the people in the room in order to get in, and only five guys can get in. So Belichick's going to be the nominee next year. Like, Belichick gets added to that list. So Belichick goes next year. Do they re-nominate Holmgren 2 years from now? Or they go to Shanahan? Or they go to Coughlin? And as we keep going, like, there's just more coaches that are going to be lined up behind them. Right? Like, I mean, there's a backlog already, and that's not going to get any better. If he didn't get in now, who knows if he gets nominated again? Who knows if he gets in? And that's the disappointing thing to me, is once that coach previously had been nominated, it was just kind of, all right, this guy's in. Next year, we're going to do this guy. It was just kind of a conveyor belt of this is how we're getting the coaches in that came to an end last night.
Hold on. Explain this to me. So now there's not a coach that goes in every year? They are lumped in with the senior candidates as well?
Yeah. So you have your 15 finalists and you have the five. So the 15 modern day finalists and then the five that come from the whatever they're calling the senior committee now. So you've got three players there, a contributor and a coach as part of those five. So they take those 20, they whittle it down to 10. From 10, they go to 7. And then from that 7, they have a vote of should they be in the Hall of Fame. And you rank those 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 7. And if you get 80% of the vote, you get into the Hall of Fame.
Do you think it was Sterling or Holmgren? And they went with Sterling?
You think they don't? Because I don't even know how far Holmgren made it in the process. Like, I know from some of the reporting done last night, like Eli Manning, like Eli didn't even make it to the 10. Like, he didn't even make it down to when they whittled it down to 10 players. So I'm not even sure how far Holmgren made it in the process.
I actually saw an argument that Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike was making, I think this morning on his show and then again on social media, and he was saying it's less about the fact that Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. It's more about, because the regular season numbers and some of the metrics don't really indicate a Hall of Fame career. It is more about who he beat to be those Super Bowl champs those year, and of course the Patriots. And the Patriots, if we consider them to be one of the greatest dynasties ever in the NFL, the fact that they were able to top them, he feels like should be enough to get Eli Manning into
the Eli wasn't even the biggest snub. Like, Luke Kuechly by far was the biggest snub. And he had, I mean, kind of a similar situation where he decided to retire early, but in his eight seasons he was 5-time first team All-Pro, 2-time second team All-Pro, and 1 year that he wasn't All-Pro, it was his rookie year, he won Rookie of the Year. Like, he's winning awards all over the place. Like, he is clearly one of the best linebackers of, if not the best linebacker of his generation. How he doesn't get in is beyond me.
But there's going to be a backlog of quarterbacks. Right? That's length of career. That's length of career.
Sure, but like, no, I mean, if I you're know. A five-time Chu, like, if you're 5-time first team All-Pro, that's outrageous. That's so.
Well, what was Sterling's? I mean, Sterling's got to be up there with.
He was All-Pro. 3-time first team All-Pro. Which is good enough.
Yeah. I mean, Kuechly will get in. He's just got to sit and wait.
I don't know, but next year you've got Drew Brees who's coming in. You've got Larry Fitzgerald, who everyone thinks is going to get in. Torrey Holt didn't get in this time around. Like, there's going to be a backlog because they changed the way they did this because the doors have been open for so long, and they feel like they had been getting too many players and too many people in the last handful of years.
Besides Aaron Rodgers, who will be the next Green Bay Packer who gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Devontae.
Does he have a Super Bowl win? Was he in 2010?
He was not. He came in 14.
Probably Devontae. Yeah. I mean, his numbers are probably off the charts.
He's three-time first-team All-Pro.
Let me ask you this, though, and I know it won't happen first or second ballot, but where do you stand on Bakhtiari?
He's not going to get in.
No?
I think he needed to play just a little bit longer. And pick up like one or two more first or second team All-Pro nods.
He had like five of them, though, didn't he?
Yeah, most of them.
I mean, he got snubbed in the Pro, which I didn't understand because he'd make All-Pro and then he wouldn't make the Pro Bowl. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
So he is a two-time All-Pro in terms of first team. He has made three second teams. So maybe he can get in, but if it's harder to get in right now, Chew, like, I feel he needed one more first team or one more second team to really solidify that case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe a Packers Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's without a doubt a Packers
Hall of Famer. Oh, yeah, that's a lock. No one on Clay Matthews, one Defensive Player of the Year.
He didn't.
I thought he won it that one year.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so he's not.
So he's one-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Made a second team as well.
Okay.
Yeah, probably, especially if it's tougher. Like, under the old rules, Chew, like, maybe Clay's got an outside chance.
Yeah.
New rules where it's going to be tougher, I don't think Clay's got a chance.
Why are they doing this?
Does it bother
you,
though? Thank you. That's just what I was going to say, Chew. Does it bother you, though, that all of a sudden they're, like, trying to gatekeep? I understand it is, like, the pinnacle of playing in the NFL. And I have been to Canton, and it is busts upon busts upon busts, aisles and aisles and aisles. And it does feel like there's a lot of people. But the game has been around for a really long time. Like, I tend to agree, and I have said this to you guys about the Heisman. Like, does everybody deserve a Heisman? No, but there are guys who deserve to go to New York. There are guys who deserve that trip to New York to recognize. Mm-hmm. I know we talk about Jonathan Taylor. That is one of the examples I always lean on, how that season he had with the Badgers, he certainly deserved to be honored in New York, even if he wasn't going to win the trophy outright. Does it bother you that it seems like all of a sudden they are like, whoa, there are way too many people who we are considering having Hall of Fame careers now?
Not really, for me.
I think there's way too many skill positions that go in. I don't think there's enough offensive linemen. I mean, there's five of them on the field. I'm sick of these quarterbacks that get in with just like Eli, you know?
Well, he didn't get in.
well, he's going to get in because of his last name. But, I mean, what, just because he won Super Bowls? I mean, he's four-time Pro Bowl. Who cares? I don't even see All-Pro.
No, wait, he was never an All-Pro.
I'm going to need to know what metric you think they should be using to get in the Hall of Fame, Chew, if we are minimizing Super Bowls.
Well, because the question for me,
you're going to put in Eli Manning, who doesn't have one All-Pro, which is the measure. You're the best of the best. Doesn't have one All-Pro, but you're telling me Bakhtiari doesn't get in with two first teams and three second teams? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame isn't about what did you do as a team. The Hall of Fame is, were you ever one of the best at your position? And the answer for Eli Manning is unequivocally no. He was never one of the best, never considered one of the best at his position. Like, if they don't put an Eli, I have zero issue with that.
But, and this goes back to the conversation I have had with my daughter about gymnastics guys, like, it's not his fault that he was playing in an era where there were other guys who were just the GOATs or who were the best of the best. Obviously, Brady is the example that you can go to. Like, he was really good, and he led his team to the Super Bowl and won two times. Like, so he was the best, quote unquote, that year, that day.
His team was the best. I believe
they had a hell of a defense. Yeah, their defense was
their team was really the best.
Good. Yeah,
that's where I land on that. Like, the Hall of Fame's all about how good were you as an individual, and So at this point, I do not have an issue with them kind of cutting down. Like, okay, your standards were lax the last few years. That doesn't mean you should, like, yeah, we should probably sharpen up our standards. But they haven't been in the past. Who cares? Sharpen them up now. So I would rather have guys that we think, oh, man, should he be in? I'd rather have those debates. Because the guys that are without a doubt, no doubt Hall of Famers are going to get in. The Tom Brady's, the Brett Favre's, the Aaron Rodgers, the guys where you just stand up and say the guy's name and sit down and don't even have to present the case. Yeah, those guys should get in the Hall
of
Fame.
But didn't you just say that Mike Holmgren has become a victim of circumstance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm disappointed he didn't get in, but I would rather have less people get in than just have the door open to everybody.
Yeah,
and then
you're going,
really, this guy got in? So, and you're going to end up probably keeping some guys out, like Mike Holmgren.
Is the list very long, guys, of people who you don't think deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Especially if you start looking the last couple of years, because like in 2020, they put in like 20 people. They like backlogged, like, oh, yeah, we think we made mistakes with these guys. Now, if you were debating your case for 25 years and you didn't get in before that, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, Dan Fouts? Like, does Dan Fouts belong in the Hall of Fame, Chew?
I don't know. I mean, the metric for players is, A, you play against. Because there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame that I played against. I'm like, really? Really? The measure is all pro, because that means you are in, and that's a media thing, I believe, right, Gabe?
Yes. Yep, yep. The AP
that
votes
means
on that.
You are, there's two at every position. There's a first team and a second team. That's the measure. You know,
I would like to, at some point, for you to look at a list, Google guys who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and tell me, because you're a football guy, you know the history of the sport as well.
Prides himself
tell
on history.
Me who shouldn't be in that is in. I would like to know how lengthy that list actually is, or if it's more of a straw man. We got to take a break. Still a lot of stuff to get to on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. We will play Superb Owl Squares again, but I believe we are playing Chew, Rechew next. Maybe next?
Joshy?
Yep.
It's either Rechew or we have a guest here from Potawatomi.
We've got Rechew. I've got the questions in front of me. We are going to test Chewy's knowledge on things he said throughout the course of the week.
Right after this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday headed into Super Bowl weekend. We are live at the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Sportsbook. Now listen, not a lot of folks hanging out in the sportsbook now, but it is also 8:23 in the morning. I imagine this place will be absolutely jam-packed, loaded to the gills this Sunday. And there are a lot of things that you can get in on as well. We will talk about those as the show goes on. But, you know, first and foremost, we will be doing a special weekly wager out here from noon until 3 on Sunday at the Annex. And you can come and say hi to us as we talk all things the big game. Speaking of games, this is my favorite. It's time for We Can Reach You.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play the Week in Reach You.
All right, Chewy, we quiz you on things you said throughout the course of the week. We've got 5 different questions around that. You get 3 right, you win. You get 3 wrong, you lose. You ready to play?
Yes.
Let's start with the first audio clip, Joshy.
Got bad news, my computer again.
Yeah, what is going on?
I won.
What is going on?
Every time I clicked over, it stopped working.
I'm looking at pictures of, like, people in history, how they actually looked. Some of them were hideous.
How did we get in this rabbit hole?
He was looking for the Hall of Fame list that he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I want to know how did he get from there to Abraham Lincoln?
No, Gabe.
I'm ready.
We're talking like King Tut, Robert, the Robert of Bruce. Oh,
you know those are real pictures, right?
Are they really?
Yeah, they had photographs, cameras, all that stuff back then.
King Henry?
Can we please?
Dude.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. The computer's working once again. So here we go. Question number one starts with an audio clip.
Why don't they just call it ham?
What should they just call ham? All right. He's off to a great start. One for one.
Canadian bacon was the answer.
Canadian bacon was the answer.
Okay.
Question number two.
Looks good. I'd rather have weird than dull. Weird than dull.
What were you talking about?
I think I know.
No idea. Weird than dull. Weird than dull. I have no idea.
Jen?
Is it friends?
It is friends. You would rather have weird friends than dull friends.
Would you guys rather have weird?
Very pro
weird
weirdo.
Is good. Yeah. Love weird.
All right, Chu, you're 1-1. Pivotal question number three, Joshy.
Gabe, see, Gabe doesn't want to share. Gabe could be a spy.
What was I telling you about that you decided to accuse me of being a spy?
I mean, I remember. Gabe could be a spy because he does this. He doesn't let anyone know anything about his personal life. That's number one. Is that good enough?
You're circling it. There was a specific thing he was telling us about.
Was it doing the Bucks games? Doing the Bucks games?
You had asked us what...
Oh, it was the dog.
Nope.
Yes? Oh, darn.
No, that was an athletic thing.
Could you just let that go?
My goodness. That was a good pop, though. Good pop.
Plans for the Super Bowl. You were asking us about plans for the Super Bowl. Okay. And then decided, before I could even tell you what my plans were, accuse me of being a spy.
Ah, fair. Fair.
All right.
That's fair.
You got to get the last two right. I feel like this one's going to be a layup. I don't know what the audio clip is, but I feel like it's got to be a layup. Joshy?
That's a code. That's a code reference.
What is a code that certainly no one else on Earth abides by?
Oh, I thought you said this was going to be easy.
I thought it was, because I knew the answer. I thought the audio clip was going to be a little bit easier.
Josh, one more time. That's a code. That's a code reference.
I don't...
Certainly no one else on Earth abides by this.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I tricked you.
Josh,
not sleeping with someone in the mafia's wife. You don't do that. That's a code.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where my follow-up was like. It actually extends to all demographics.
Yeah, but I don't think, you might get whacked, but, I mean, you're definitely getting whacked if you're in the mafia. That's... right?
He's not wrong.
I mean, you're getting whacked.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey. All right, we'll see if you can get this one. It doesn't matter. Joshy, question number five.
I think we need to oversee, because the girls really gab.
Well,
they didn't put cheese on the pizza.
Yeah. Chewy is now overseeing pizza making on the Uni in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, pizza really needs cheese.
Otherwise, I mean, I guess it's just breadsticks.
And
otherwise.
That was from Monday, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. All right, Chew. Better luck next time. Hey, you've been on a pretty good stretch here.
Yeah, not bad.
I feel you've got a pretty good winning percentage. I feel like you've got a good winning percentage in these games. This is the first time in a while you've lost.
Yeah, because I didn't get enough rest last night.
So what were you doing?
Pool.
In the pool till midnight. I'm like, I need to go to bed.
Why were you in the pool till midnight?
5 more minutes with Angie. 5 more minutes.
What was the drink of choice?
That's your question?
It wasn't so much the drink of choice. I think the neighbors got a show because across... Well, do you know where I'm going?
Yeah.
So there was a dinner party that extended till midnight, and I have these motion lights outside the house, and...
there was some motion.
It got real quiet. As I was getting out of the water because the motion lights went on. If you get my drift.
You were naked.
Thank you.
This pool's rocking. Don't come a knocking.
Imagine looking across the little channel and seeing this behemoth, like a Yeti,
quiet.
Walking through spotlights.
Yeah.
Like a Yeti.
I think it's
with a white ass.
It's too warm for Bigfoot to live here.
Yeah. I mean, it got quiet.
Muscle
I'm
lost
like,
his
oh.
hair.
It's kind of funny.
I'm going to do a read. Whether you're a local who wants to have a night out or you are visiting our great city of Milwaukee, might I suggest our friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you can enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your reservations at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy
oh
was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size helmet.
Just,
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Now you only get it in your nightdress. Discarded all the naughty nights for niceness. Landed in a very common crisis. Everything's in order in a black hole. Nothing seems to fit to use the past.
As we are joined now by Justin Arnett, VP of Digital Gaming here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's early for you, isn't it, Justin?
Yeah, a little bit.
Little earlier week, than yeah. he would prefer to be here at the Sportsbook, but the Sportsbook is phenomenal, and a lot of that is due to the effort and the work that you have put in to get it here. How are you feeling on the eve of the first Super Bowl that Pottawatomie Sportsbook will be open for?
Very excited. I'm really looking forward to what the energy is going to be like and just the atmosphere. I mean, if you're in this business, you love these moments, so I'm getting ready for it.
What are some of the things people can do to come here, take advantage of the Sportsbook being open for its first Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I mean, you can just come out and hang out and make the bets, right? But I think most of our seating might be, you know, it went early, so I think the Sportsbook's pretty... The reservations might be
full,
packed.
It's
yeah,
full,
I think
which is
so.
A good thing.
There might be a few like VIP options available on the skybox mezzanine behind us here. The other thing is, I think there may still be some tailgate tickets. You know, we opened up this annex space next door, and it's like an all-you-can-eat. You get three drinks with it, $40. It's a pretty good situation. If I wasn't working here, I'd be there. That's for sure.
That's where we will be for the special weekly wager from noon until 3. We will be at the annex where the tailgate is going on. There'll be games, there'll be food, as you mentioned. You get three drink tickets and an all-you-can-eat buffet for $40. You can reserve your tickets now by going to paysbig.com/sportsbook. What has been the toughest thing about getting this space ready for what we believe will be one of the biggest events it has ever hosted?
Just getting everybody in alignment, right? All the different verticals, our marketing team and the F&B team, we all have to work together. But, you know, it's really not, you say the hardest, it's not that. That's what we do here. So we just kind of be ready to host people, get my team up to staff and ready to get the bets through. You know, I have to make sure we get all the bets through. There's a lot of demand. We're going to have a line basically at those kiosks for the next 3 days. So I wouldn't wait till the last minute to get your bet in.
Wait, so you have 1,000 prop bets, which is yeah. awesome and insane all at the same time. Do you have one that, do you have a favorite one that you guys created for the game?
Not that we created per se, but you know, I am very partial to the opening coin flip.
Yeah.
It's just that energy in the room, you know, when they call it, when it's heads or tails and half the room groans and half the room high fives. Like I love that. It's just like, you know, it's like the green light in a race or something. Like, it's game on, you know, and I love that moment.
I'm trying to find here in our thick packet of bets what the coin tosses were, but you said that there are, it's not just as simple as heads and tails, right? It is, you can bet on which team gets it, and if that team picks heads, and then if that team picks, yeah. wins the coin toss and wins the game. Like, there's a bunch of different layers
yeah,
to something as simple as the coin toss.
Absolutely. It's almost as, you know, as good as your imagination is just about, right? you know, we've got it. They've thought about all the angles for it. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
How tough is it to put together all of these and organize them? Because that's the thing. I've got the QR code here, so I opened up the app, and like there's just so many different categories that you can go through in terms of the prop bets for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, so we have partners, our risk team that we kind of outsource that with our platform partner Cambi. They do most of that. You know, really for me, I had to. They provide so much. I even had to nix a few. They had stuff like how many penalty yards or something. I was like, oh, I don't think I like the penalty yards. So maybe.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to root for flags.
Yeah,
right.
And it just feels. I don't know. I don't think the regulators would love me for that. So I had to nix. But that's really the biggest thing. Is just if I have to narrow it down a little bit because they have such a large offering. And just when they send me the Excel sheet with like 1,000 options on it, I have to go through and look at it. It's a lot of work.
Justin Arnett, VP of Digital Gaming, joining us here at Potawatomi Sportsbook in advance of the Super Bowl, the big game going on this weekend. I have a stack of bets that I have placed, so that should make you happy first and foremost, Justin.
I saw it and I smiled.
But what I want you to do is I want you to go through and take a look at them and tell me what you think of them, because I would appreciate the expertise that you provide to tell me if you think that these are decent bets or if these are sucker bets.
Well, in my expert opinion, I am a heads guy, so I'm happy to see that you went that way. I've always been a heads guy.
Famously on this show, what have I said?
Jen, also a heads gal.
Yep.
Good. Yes, I do love the heads. Travis Kelce, why not, right? He's storybook couple years.
So Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown, I believe, is the bet that I have there on that slip.
A sack and an interception. You're looking for chaos. I like to see that.
Well, it's one player.
To get a sack and an interception. Yeah.
But good odds on that one.
Yeah, 13-1. I'd like that. I like the chaos. Quarterback is the MVP. I mean, that's bread and butter there.
Unless Saquon Barkley has a ridiculous game. And to Gabe's point earlier, Spagnuolo has not really allowed running backs to run all over the field.
Yeah. Again, I think A.J. Brown's got a lot of value there.
That's fair. If there's anyone to break that mold, he might be the guy to do that,
Saquon,
right?
Saquon.
I mean, I do like A.J. Brown, too, but Saquon is just a monster, right? He's had a monster season. Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown. I mean, with the tush push, how could you not?
Yeah, right?
How can you not?
It feels like they get inside the five like seven times a game.
Yeah, well, to be honest 90%. With you, there is a bet that Potawatomi offers as Justin continues going through my bet slips over here that says Saquon Barkley two or more touchdowns. I really liked the numbers on it because, look, Saquon Barkley, we think, is a threat to score on any play. If he's able to get in the open field, he's outrunning that defense. The problem is if they get to the three, if they get to the two, if they get to the one, guess who gets that touchdown instead of Saquon Barkley?
Jalen Hurts.
We all know the answer to that.
Indeed. Oh, and you got the three-team parlay. Oh, you're going hard on Saquon, even with the 100-yard rusher stat. Over 115 yards in a parlay. I mean, 111.5 yards in a parlay. Yeah, I like that. Why not? Let's see. Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown on the parlay. Yep, I got riding that tush push.
So far there hasn't been a ton of pushback here on
well,
the old bets.
Well, I like all bets turns out, in my line of work.
Except
for tails.
As the VP of digital gaming here at
Just
Potawatomi.
Overwhelmed by the booklet of slips that you gave
I'm trying
him.
To process here. Yeah. Eagles money line? Okay. I like that. As we were talking off,
and tell everybody why you're rooting for the Eagles.
Well, for one, I'm rooting for the Eagles because everyone is a Chiefs fan around here, and it turns out the bookie is like we are kind of a contrarian by nature, right? We like what the people don't bet because we do better that way. it's funny how that works.
Honest.
Basic business.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I grew up in Dallas, so it does pain me to yell "Fly Eagles, fly!" But you got to do what you got to do in this business. So I'm kind of cheering for them. I do kind of, me personally, on paper, I like them. I think I like the rushing Eagles matchup versus the Chiefs rushing defense. I think they're going to have a little bit of sustained success there, but it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes. He's a magician. He gets it done when it matters time and time again. So I don't know. I don't feel real comfortable about it. That's
speaking of sustained success, the sportsbook is doing so well. Just talk to me about the journey to get here to a point where we have this state of the art, this Vegas style sports book in Milwaukee. How rewarding has it been for you and the team on a nightly basis to walk around out there and just see the seats filled, see the restaurant bustling, see all these screens popping with various games? Like, how rewarding has that been for you and the folks at Pottawatomie?
Very rewarding. You know, so when I got here, they brought me on board, and everything was still in the design phase, and we had a temporary book, and they had kind of some plans, and I got here and I was like, whoa, no, we need more. This isn't going to be enough. So I immediately went into work. We built that temporary space, and I added ticket writers. Initially didn't have that, and then we added more kiosks, and then more kiosks, and then more kiosks again because the demand's there. So just, you know, we were in two different temporary spaces, if you remember. It was very like just kind of hacking it together, and to finally get this space that we love, that has a lot of demand, it's very rewarding. We got a great team too. You know, my staff is our ticket writers. They keep it light. We're just very, you know, everyone's got a good attitude, and it's you know, friendly, and we just, you know, it's a great group of people, and you know, it makes me feel proud that we did that, and people seem to love the space. It was so much demand that, right, that we decided, okay, we have, on the busy times, it's packed, standing room only, smash. So the space next door, that annex, we're like, well, let's do a little more and see if we need that space. So we installed those high definition, what do you call them, projector screens, and I put the couches in there and tried to make it a little more loungy, comfortable vibe. But yeah, it's rewarding. It's rewarding to have the demand continually to go up, and the feedback is very good. So yeah.
I will tell a story before we let you go, Justin. We brought some friends here for some of the college football playoff games, grabbed a booth. The food was fantastic. They kept bringing out the towers of the liquids, if you will. And that was the first time our friends had been here in years, because they just had a different perception of what Pottawatomie was and a different perception of what a sports book was. And my girlfriend told me the other night, I was sitting with her at a hockey game, and she goes, do you know, we went back the next week and watched a game there, just the two of us, her and her husband. And I was like, thank you. I keep telling people, it is a great spot if you are a sports fan. The sports book is where you want to be. There is energy. There are fellow sports fans. And it's just a great scene that I think a lot of people don't know about. They are finding out about it. And of course, this weekend, it will be at the top tier. Justin Arnett, thanks for hanging out with us, VP of Digital Gaming here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It promises to be a very exciting, very rewarding, very fulfilling weekend here at Pottawatomie.
Thanks for having me. We're excited about it.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get your dialing fingers ready. 800-990-3776. Our last installment of Superb Owl Squares, which, by the way, you can play the squares also here at Pottawatomie. As if the prop bets were not enough, you can play squares. You can bet on the numbers that you think will turn out at various points during the big game as well. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line, and that is your way to play Superb Owl Squares next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks, he sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and it is time to play for the final time this week. Superb Owl Squares. Joshy is handling the callers. Joshy, who do we have?
First up, we have Howard in Sherman Park. Howard, you're on the air.
Hello.
Good morning, Howard. Which quarterback has the most double-digit wins in Super Bowl history? Which quarterback has the most double-digit wins in Super Bowl history?
Probably wrong, but I'll guess Tom Brady. He's got the most wins.
Tom Brady is incorrect. I mean, that's a good shotgun approach to it, but it is Troy Aikman. All three of his Super Bowl wins were by double digits in 27, 28, and Super Bowl 30.
Sorry, that's me. Sam in Kenosha, you're on the air.
Sam, which Super Bowl champion scored the most points in that regular season?
In what regular season, sorry?
So that the year that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're not telling you the year.
Oh,
pal.
Sorry.
Go with the Patriots.
The 1999 St. Louis Rams in the greatest show on turf scored 526 points.
Next up, we have Bryce in the Falls. Bryce, you're on the air.
All right, Bryce, which college has produced the most quarterbacks who have started in the Super Bowl?
Like different quarterbacks or total starts?
So different quarterbacks.
Different quarterbacks. Man, I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to go with University of Michigan.
Cal has produced the most with four. Joe Capp, Craig Morton, of course, Aaron Rodgers, and Jared Goff.
Although, again, I like how people are using the Patriots.
As
Tom Brady, obviously, the example there. What is Drew Brees wearing?
Sam in Maguanago. Sam, you're on the air.
Morning, guys.
All right, Sam, which is the only Super Bowl champion that that featured two 1,000-yard rushers?
Only, can you repeat it one more time, please?
Can you turn down your radio?
Yeah, only Super Bowl champion that had two 1,000-yard rushers. Need an answer.
Let's say Colts. I don't know.
The 1972 Miami Dolphins. Larry Zonka and Audrey Morris, both over 1,000 yards.
Casey in Sheboygan. Casey, you're up next.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Casey. Who is the only quarterback to be intercepted five times in a single Super Bowl?
I bet Chu knows this one.
Cam Newton.
Stan Humphries?
Rich Gannon.
Never mind.
Rich Gannon.
Oh. Okay.
Although I feel like Stan Humphries was, I mean, they got their doors blown off in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got worked like a fiddle.
Up next, we have Ace in Madison. Ace, you're on the air.
Ace, which NFL franchise played the most seasons before winning its first championship?
I know this one, I think.
I don't know if Ace is there, so we're going to drop him and just same question to Tim and Franklin. Can you repeat it,
Gabe? All right, Tim. You've had time to think about it, Tim. Which NFL franchise played the most seasons before winning its first championship?
I'm going to guess the Saints.
The New Orleans Saints is correct. They played 43 years before winning their first championship.
How many questions did you have left, Gabe?
Many. Several. Some.
Yeah, handful.
I thought we were worried about running out. Okay.
Well, after we rattled through about, you know, six or seven in the first one, I got a little nervous. But I think that's just PTSD from last year.
Do you want some, Chu?
Yeah, give it to me.
Who's the youngest player to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Ugh. Ah, la, la, la. Youngest player. Running back, receiver?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
It's not going to come to you.
No.
Jamal Lewis. He was 21 years old in Super Bowl 35 against the Giants. Tom Brady is one of two quarterbacks. Did we already do this one?
No.
Tom Brady is one of two quarterbacks to pass for 400 yards in a single Super Bowl. He did it twice. Who is the other?
Kurt Warner?
Yes! Nice work. Mm-hmm. And do you see how I kept my volume at a reasonable level that time as opposed to, you know, blowing out people's windows? Including the playoffs, which quarterback owns the record for most passing yards in a Super Bowl winning season?
No chance.
No chance?
No chance. You're not going to get this. I could give you 10 guesses. You're not going to get it.
Would I know the name?
Yes.
It's Eli Manning. 6,152
exactly
passing yards in 2011.
Never would have gotten there.
Who is the winningest coach in the Super Bowl era without a Super Bowl appearance? We did do that one, didn't we?
We did do that one, yes.
That's Marty Schottenheimer. The Packers from 1929 to 1931 had the first three-peat in pro football history. Which team did it next?
San Fran?
The Browns, 46-50. And all of these questions courtesy of Paul Hembakidis, Hembo, as you know him, from Get Up fame and, of course, from ESPN Radio.
Speaking of three-peat, did you see that the NFL had reached an agreement with Pat Riley so they could use three-peat if the Chiefs win?
I didn't. Because what do you think that cost the NFL?
Oh, I can't imagine. Pat's a shrewd businessman. He owns, did you know that, Chewy, that Pat Riley owns the phrase three-peat? Yeah. After the Lakers won in the 80s, he trademarked three-peat. So anytime somebody wants to use that, they've got to go through him and give him a cut.
Is there anything we could trademark? Ashton, will you stop laughing? It's very distracting.
Are you coming over?
What?
Oh, here he comes. He's coming over.
He's laughing at your performance today, Chewy. That's all.
Brought it again.
Very quickly, Gabe, who do you think will win the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
Chewy, who do you think will win the Super Bowl?
Eagles by 12.
I want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. And that is the hedge of the weekend. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you out here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Thanks to them for being great hosts to us this morning, bringing us all of the betting lines, bringing us the donuts, and, of course, bringing you great entertainment this weekend for the big game. We're live from noon to 3 at the Annex right next door. Hopefully we'll see you there. Wildy and Tausch is next.
We are still moving along great on the roadways. No delays right now. No incidents really to speak of. So let's keep this flow going through the afternoon as well. Just everybody be careful, but we're looking good. And check out the TMJ4.